We're up to Daf Chesamid Beis, and we're up to Omer of Kahana. So let's count down from the top. It's approximately, I'd say about 13, 14, maybe 15 lines down from the top. And we're talking about a Mavui, and on one side of the Mavui, it opens up. And Omer of Kahana, Bar Tachlifa, whole series of this transmission. Rav Kahana said it Mishmei, the Rav Kahana, Bar Minyomomi. Rav Kahana was a very popular name back in those days. And he said in the name of Rav Kahana, Bar Malkio. And three different Rav Kahanas here. Mishmei de Rav Kahana, the original Rav Kahana. Rabbi de Rav, who is the Rebbe of Rav. The Amrali, we have another transmission that says it was Rav Kahana Bar Malkio himself. Hainu Rav Kahana Rabbi de Rav. He was the one who was the Rav Kahana that was the Rebbe of Rav. Okay, we'll leave the history out for the time being. Mavui. So we're talking about a Mavi that opens up into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Shebetzido ha'echad hu aruch, ubetzido ha'echad hu katzar. So we have now two walls of a Mavui, and one extends further than the other. So for example, when you're in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and you enter into this Mavui, you will enter with a kosel on your right, but you haven't yet reached the kosel on your left, because the kosel on the left is shorter than the kosel on your right, which is longer. So the halacha is as follows. How far do you go from the end of the katzar until you go to the end of the gadol, of the aruch? If it's pachos mi arba amos, if that open space, when I say open, meaning after you pass, let's say I'll give an example. You have your hand, as you're going down this alleyway, you have your hand on the wall that's katzar, right? And you get to the end of that wall. If the distance between that point at the end of that wall and the end of the wall across the way, on the right side, is less than 4 amos, then meniach es hakora balakson. Then he could be mesakein the mavui by placing the beam on top on an angle, which would mean it would attach the end of the katzar with the end of the aruch. And once again, we have a very beautiful diagram of that, of a kora that's on an angle, on a diagonal, we'll call it. Balakson. Now, in that case, he's allowed to be metalt in the mavui all the way up to the kora, even on the longer wall. On the shorter wall, he's only allowed to carry up to that short wall. So I guess it would probably depend. You know, basically, if he's carrying in this mavui, he's got to make sure when he looks up at the kora that he's always underneath the kora, not beyond the kora. So if he's standing on the, let's call it, depending upon where it is, I call it the right side that the katzar, then when he gets to the end of the katzar and he looks up, well, guess what? He's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. But if he's standing on the other side and he's on the aruch side, so then as long as he's tzamud, you know, he's close to the longer side, the longer wall, then he still, you know, he still sees the kora ahead of him, and he's not in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. However, arba amos, what if the distance between the end of the katzar and the end of the aruch is more than 4 amos, is eina meniach es hakora ela keneged hakotzar. In such a case, he's got to put the beam on top straight from the end of the kotzer, directly, you know, the beam is like a 90 degree angle, and it goes on top of the aruch. And
he can't use a lechi. No lechi.
That's a good question. What would be the status of a lechi? Let me get back to you on that.
Okay.
As far as the Korah is concerned, then again, the Korah would now go from the end of the Kotzar straight across to its parallel point on the Aruch. And once again, he would not be, in this case, allowed to put the Korah on an angle, on a diagonal, because, and here we get to the logic of it, that extra space, that extra area which goes beyond and has four amos in it, is considered a separate area. We'll call it another mavui. Again, it can't be a mavui because it only has a wall on one side, but in a sense it could be theoretically a mavui if you had a wall on the other side. And a mavui, in its minimum requirement, would set off an area that is for amos.
Yeah, I would think you would need the Korah, otherwise you wouldn't know what was inside the enclosure and what's outside.
Oh, so that's...
It's going to give you the boundary.
So, Steve, that's brilliant. That's going to be the Gemara's analysis here that we're coming about, which is called Korah Mishum Heker, and it has to be obvious. But before we get to that, let me just finish one point, but what you say is on target. And then I owe Don an answer about the lechi, but let's just go slowly here. So now, this area that's four amos, in order to be mutter betiltel, it would require a kosel on the other side. It doesn't have a kosel on the other side. So basically, when you're standing in that four amos area, you're basically in a rishus harabim. We're not going to let you carry there, because you only have one kosel on your right side. That doesn't make it into Rishus HaYochid. So again, we're going to have to require another kosel on the other side. On the other side. And he writes here, Elameinicha, he places the Korah b'kosel ha'aruch b'mokom ha'mechuvan k'neged rosh ha'kosel ha'kotzer. We're only going to allow him to put the Korah on that point in the kosel ha'aruch that is parallel to the end of the kosel ha'kotzer. V'tzidah ha'sheni b'rosh ha'kosel ha'kotzer. And the other side of the Korah is sitting on top of the end of the shorter wall, bekav yashar, in a straight line. V'yemutal etalta b'movi rak ad k'neged atzad ha'kotzar. Right, whereas in the first case, when the extension of the aruch was not beyond four amos, we allowed you to put the korah diagonally, and therefore you could carry in this mavui even up to the korah, meaning beyond the end of the kosel ha-kotzar. Here, in the case of Arba Amos, we're not going to allow you to carry at any point beyond the Korah, which means beyond the point that is absolutely parallel in a straight line to the end of the kotzar. And Rava disagrees. Imagine Rava's taking on the Rav Kahana family tree over here, and he says, Echad zeh, Rava says, in all cases, even if the blita, right, the extension of the aruch, is less than four amos beyond the kotzar, nevertheless, the korah always has to be, I call it a 90 degree angle, if you follow what I mean, but it means it has to be a straight line. There's no such thing as a diagonal korah. And Rava goes on, and he says, V'eima taimed didi, V'eima taimed didhu. I want to explain my logic, and I'll also explain the logic of those who disagree with me. Ema taima didi. My logic is the following. Taima. The reason why, my, the Rabbanan established this principle called a kora, which is a tikkun of a mavui, is mishum heker. There has to be a heker, that you're not allowed to take something from Rosh Hasharabim into this chatzer, because into this mavui, because the mavui is a Rosh Hashayachid, and balakson lo avi heker. In other words, that part of the mavui which goes beyond the katzar, because the extension of the aruch, it doesn't look like it's part of the mavui. So if a person, let's call it one of the bnei mavui, uses that area, he's going to come to the mistaken conclusion that just like he's allowed to use that area, he's allowed to go even beyond that into Rosh Hasharabim. Because again, when he gets to that point, and the alakson is korah is balakson, so he's looking in what he's looking at in front of his eyes from the side of the kotzer is a Rosh Hasharabim. So he finds it very strange that he's permitted to carry into this blita, right, to this extension, because of the aruch. And he thinks, well, you know what? If I can carry there, let me carry on the other side. You know, exactly on a straight line on the other side. And he mishka babbles the whole thing. He doesn't realize that on that side, you know, the side of the aruch, he's not in a Rosh Hasharabim, he's within the Korah. Whereas on the left side, you know, on the side with the Kotzer, he's already stepping into Rosh Hasharabim. To him, it's all the same. The Ema Taima Didhu. But I want to explain, says Rava, the dissenting view, those who are more lenient and they accept and validate a diagonal Korah, in a case where it's less than Dalet Amos, the Blita, is Kora Mishum Mai. Why did the Rabbanon establish Kora? It wasn't as a Heker to communicate to the Bnei Amavui that they're not allowed to carry out from the Mavui into Rosh Hasharabim, or from the Rosh Hasharabim into the Mavui, but rather Mishum Mechitza. The purpose of the Korah is called Yored Visosem. I'm missing one word. I'll remember it in a second. Anyway, when you have a crossbar on top, then there's something called Chuda Shel Korah. Chuda Shel Korah means the, you know, let's say I'm looking at the Korah from a bird's eye view. So the Chuda Shel Korah could be one of two things. It could either be the inner edge of the Korah or the outer edge of the Korah. That itself is going to be a machlokas. But whatever it is, the edge of the Korah is a mechitza. Now, I don't see any mechitza here, but as we've discussed in the past, that's called Yored Vesosem. You remember we spoke about this when we had the sugi of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a Rosh Hasharabim on two sides, and you have a roof, a bridge that connects them. You remember that? We had a beautiful picture of it. Those were in the days that we were able to show each other the pictures. And what happens is that this roof has two ledges, or edges, and we imagined a mechitza going down from the edge. That was the imaginary mechitza. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you had is the area between the two houses that are on two sides of Rosh Hasharabim is surrounded by four mechitzas. Right? There's the face, the facade of the house, and then the pi sosem, yored v'sosem, from this over overpass. And here also the Korah, according to the Rav Kahana tradition, is a machitza. Now you look at a Korah, you don't see it as a machitza. You have to be very, you know, use your power of imagination. And the edge of the Korah goes down as if it was an imaginary machitza, and it closes off that whole area. And therefore, balakso nami havi machitza. Even if the Korah is on a diagonal, nevertheless, it still serves as a machitza. We never found that the halach of machitza requires that the machitza go in a direct line, you know, from one point to the other directly, when they're parallel to each other. No, we have a machitza that's on a diagonal. That the halacha recognizes a machitza that's on a diagonal. Excuse me for just one. So we have this statement here of Rava defending the dissenters, the Rav Kahana family, that alakso nami havi machitza. Now, he has a note here, which I wanted to share with you, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel. And he writes, she'im ba l'sakein mavui, Shetzido ha'echad aroch v'tzido echad katzar al yidei lechi. So this was your question before. Bevadai eino rashoy lanicha eli k'neged ha'katzar. So even though the dissenters would allow a korah, but they would not allow a lechi. So put a lechi at the end of the aroch, that would not be matir, the area that's open, if you know what I mean, on that side, on the other side, because the other wall is a kotzer. And the reason for that is, since Rava explains this sheet of Rav Kahana, I call it, that the reason for the heter is because a korah is a machitza, that logic does not apply in the case of a lechi. Mipnei shahagam shalechi nidon lishum mechitzach eno nidon ki mechitza el gabi mashederech mechitza listom v'hainu stima biyosher v'lo balakson. Now, I'm just going to take a shot at this. He says the following, that when the Rabbanon instituted a lechi and a korah, both, according to this approach, which we said, korah mishum mechitza, can serve as a mechitza, and a lechi can also serve as a mechitza. However, there's a fundamental difference between the mechitza of a korah and the mechitza of a lechi. When we say that a lechi could serve as a mechitza, that's only the area that the lechi could sosem, could close off. And the assumption is that a lechi doesn't close off an area that's ba'alakson. It could only close off an area that is yashar, that is a straight line. And the reason for that is because, generally speaking, when you talk about a mechitza, If it goes, let's say we'll call it from right to left or left to right, that means it's a sosem. It's considered a barrier that closes off something. And when you close off something, you close it off from one point to another point. That's the derech of a mechitza hasosemes. But in the case of a korah, we're not talking about a mechitza hasosemes, but rather we're talking about an abstract, imaginary mechitza. And in Hilchus mechitza, when it goes down from the top, which is called yored v'sosem, there's no difference between two points that are exactly parallel, or alakson. Omer Rav Kahana, hoil, since as far as this mavui, which we had, one side of the mavui is longer than the other, one kosel is longer than the other, shmatata ke de kahanihi. In other words, this whole transmission of the Torah was from the Kahana family. he's the latest Rav Kahana to come around, is therefore Ema Ba Milsa. I'm also a Kahana, which might mean I'm also Kohen, or might mean that I'm one of the Chachomim who's called Rav Kahana, is Ema Ba Milsa. I also have a right to throw in my two cents. Hodi Amrit Meniach Korah HaKorah Balakson, that which the original Rav Kahana, the elder, Rav Kahana the elder, had said that you're allowed to put the Korah in a diagonal, Lo Amoron Ela She'ein Balaksono Yoser Mi Eser. Avol yesh balaksono yosem eser divrei hakol eino meniach el keneged hakotzar. So basically, what we're going to have here in this sugya is a trimming. You know, we're trimming down and restricting the leniency of the Rav Kahana tradition, and in that sense, we're sort of closing the gap between Rava and Rav Kahana, because according to the late Rav Kahana, the early Rav Kahana would only allow this a korah balakson in a case of ein balaksono yosem eser. Now Rashi explains that the word eser here is a reference to eser amos. So how long is the diagonal line between the end of the kotzer and the end of the orach? If it's less than eser amos, then we have something to talk about. But if the width, right, the rochav of this mavui, let's call it a very wide mavui, such that the two ksolim on the right and the left are separated by a distance of more than 10 amos, and therefore it's a very wide, a very wide mavui. So that's called yesh balaksano yosef mi eser amos. Then we're not going to allow a diagonal korah, and the question is why. Now I have a little diagram here. It's actually in black and white, so it's not as aesthetically beautiful as the others. But he has something called Ein Balaksano Yosem Eser. So it means that the beam that you're putting up this korah on a diagonal from the end of the kotzer to the end of the aruch is less than 10 amos. Sha'orech Ha'alakson mi rosh ha'kotzel orach and rosh ha'kotzel kotzer eino yoser mi eser amos. Kigon, shahoya ha'movui tsar. Okay, this is the opposite of a wide alleyway. We're talking about a narrow alleyway, so the distance between the wall on the right and the wall on the left is less than eser amos. That's called a movui tsar. Shegam kasher titzarev l'rochvo. Es blitas hakosel ha'orach lo yagia alakson li yoser mi eser amos. So even when you connect the width, right, the width of the mavui from the end of the kotzer to the blita, to the extended part of the orach, the alakson will not be beyond eser amos. It sounds like eser amos itself would be mutter. Avol, but in the case of yesh balaksano yoser mi eser, that he calls that a mavui rochav, a very wide mavui where the distance between one kosa and the other is more than 10 amos, is divrei hakol, even Rav Kahana, the original elder, admits that ein meniach ela keneged hakotzar. Why? Mipnei Shekol tachas akora hu pesach hamavui v'kevan shakora rucha me eser amos hare pesach hamavui Rachav me eser. V'ein koramo ila b'pesach ha-rochav me eser amos. So again, you have to know a little bit about geometry here, but I think what's going on is that a diameter is longer than a line that goes from point to point. So therefore, if you would draw a... Well, you know what? I don't even think I need that. Let me leave that out. I think it's just going to confuse me and you. Let's just say the following. The punchline here is kol tachas hakora. I want to underline this. Kol tachas hakora hu pesach hamavui. Now, when we started this perek back on Daf Beis, we established that there's something called a pesach hamavui, and the kora becomes the Pesach HaMavui. And you may remember that just like we said that if the, you know, if the Korah is more than 10 Amos high, or no, I think it was, sorry, 20 Amos high, then you have to be Mamayit, so too, if the width of the Korah, because of the width of the Pesach HaMavui, is more than 10 Amos, then also you have to bring it together. You have to diminish that space. So he's saying that if Tachas HaKora is called a Pesach HaMavui, then a Pesach HaMavui cannot be wider than 10 Amos. So the Kora could not function as a Pesach HaMavui if it's wider than Eser Amos. Now it's interesting. We're analyzing the width from the perspective of the Korah. And the Alakzon, in this case, because of the extension of the Aruch, of the Kotzla Aruch, is such that the Alakzon is more than Eser Amos. And if you put a Korah on that diagonal, then what you're having in a case of more than Eser Amos is a Pesach Mavui that's Rochav Me Eser Amos. So therefore, Rav Kahana the Younger is going to insist that in this case, you certainly, like Rava would have insisted, you have to put the Korah from the point at the end of the Kotzer, straight across to the end, I'm sorry, not to the end, but to the parallel point on the other side of the Aruch. And in that case, the Pesach, right, the Pesach is not 10 Amos wide. Let me just go back to the beginning of the Perek for just a minute, just to refresh our memories. And we have the following. Yeah, Mavui Shu Gavoa Mi Lamala Mi Esrim Amo, you might. So if the height of the Mavui, because the Ksolim are very high, is more than Eser Amos, then you might. Then he has to lower it. Oh, and then it says, HaRochav Me Eser Amos, you might. Mavui shepischo rochav yosem eser amos, yemait es rochav pischo. I'm just doing a very quick chazora here, and he says shemavui shepischo rochav yosem eser amos osur betiltul afil mianichu bo kora mishum she'ein pischo nechshav pesach ela pirtza. So we've had contact with this concept that an opening of more than 10 amos is called a pirtz. It's not a pesach. The ein korah materes el pesach mavui, but not a pirtz. Then the Mishnah offers another alternative solution to the problem, and that is a Tzuras HaPesach. And a Tzuras HaPesach is Afal Pishu Rachav Me'aser Amos. So in our case, what we're saying is that since the Korah is Balakson, and it's more than 10 Amos from one side to the other, then it can no longer serve as a Korah for a Pesach of a Mavui, because now it's more than 10 Amos wide. If I understand correctly, we're going to have to require in this case a Tzuras HaPesach. Now in the note here, he quotes the Ritva, "Ba'ofen zeh sheyesh balaksano yosem me'eser, ein hechrech laniach sakora keneged hakotzer dafka, el rashoy laniach balakson me'at." In other words, it doesn't have to be on what I call the 90 degree angle, straight from point to point, from one coastal to the other, as long as he puts it in a way that the alakson is less than Eser Amos. So it could be a diagonal, even in this case. Basav HaGaon Yaakov is one of the super commentaries of the Achronim on Masechta Erevin. Sheladas HaRitva Gam Kasher Blitas HaMovi HaOrach HaDefes HaLakotzer Yoser Me'arba Amos Eino Zokuk Laniach Kineged HaKotzer Dafka Liniach Balakson Mi'at Kach Sherashi HaMunach Bechelek HaBlita Pochos Me'arba Amos. Interesting. So we said before, now we're going backwards a little for a moment, that a mavui shetzido echad oroch vetzido echad kotzar is, you can allow, according to Rav Kahana, the korah balakson, but only on the condition that's pachos me arba amos, that the extension of the oroch is less than 4 amos. So the Gaon Yaakov says that if it's an extension of more than arba amos, it says here meniach esakora keneged hakotzer. No. It doesn't mean keneged hakotzer. It means keneged that part of the kotzer that would allow for less than arba amos. Do you follow my point? Once again, it doesn't have to be exactly corresponding from both sides of the kosel. It can be balakson, as long as he can guarantee that this alakson is less than 4 amos. So he's not going to be allowed to place a korah balakson all the way out to the end of the oroch, which is 4 amos beyond the kotzer, but he can attach it to whatever part of that kosel oroch, which is less than 4 amos in its distance from the end of the kosel hakotzar. Which is really interesting, because the Gemara's language here is meniach sakora keneged hakotzar in the case of arba amos. So just to summarize, the bottom line of this Gaon Yaakov is that Rav Kahana in that tradition will always accept a korah balakson. Always. In certain cases, they're going to limit and restrict the alakson, that namely, it should not allow for a 4 amos area beyond the end of the korah on the side of the aruch. And number two, it should not be an alakson that's more than 10 amos. But alakson it always will be. Iboilahu. The Gemara raises the following suffix. Ma'u lishtamesh tachas hakorah. Are you allowed to carry underneath the korah? Or perhaps you're only allowed to get up to the Korah, but not underneath the Korah. Now, it seems to me that this suffix in the Gemara has nothing to do with the previous discussion between Rav Kahana and Rav. It's a separate independent question that could apply to every case of a Korah. He says in the footnote, based on Rashi, that Dinzer Osek Bechol Mavui, V'eino Musav Al Mavui Shetzido Echad Arach. Oh, Baruch Shekivanti. So now we're sort of clapping off in Tish. You know, we finished the Sugya of the Arach and the Kotzer, and now we're dealing with Mavui. A general Korah question in Mavui. Is Rav, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yochanan, Amru Mutar, Lishtamesh, Tachas HaKorah, and Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Lokesh Amru, also Lishtamesh, Keneged HaKorah. And the Gemara is going to present three different explanations of this Machlokes. But let me just suggest the third explanation, because I think that's the most intuitive. I'm just learning this b'chavrusa with you. I think the intuitive explanation is about the principle of P kosel sosem, yored v'sosem. Which edge of the Korah is going to be yored v'sosem? Is it the what called the chuda pnimis, the inner edge, or is it the chuda achitzona? If it's the inner one, then the mechitza goes up to the inner part of the edge of the Korah. Underneath the Korah, there's no mechitza. You would not be mitalta. But if on the other hand, we're going to say it's the P chuda hachitzona, then the entire Korah and anything underneath it is included in that mechitza. But the Gemara says following, Lema b'haka miflugi. The Mar Savar, those who say you're allowed to use and carry underneath the Korah, Korah Mishum Heker. And the Korah has to be a clear demarcation between the Rishus HaRabim and the Mavui, that no one should come to carry in the Rishus HaRabim. And this Heker is anywhere under the Korah, because if you look on top, you'll see a Korah. Umar Savar, but according to those who say Osul Ishtamish Tachas HaKorah, they hold Korah Mishum Mechitza. And the Mechitza is setting up a fourth Mechitza. We have three Mechitzos, right? We're talking about a Mavui Sosum. And the Yored V'Sosem here is from the Chuda Pnimis. It's only the inner edge of the Korah that goes down. And the Gemara says, lo, I have another possibility. The Kuliyam, everybody holds that Korah Mishum Heker. And therefore you think that you're allowed to carry underneath the Korah because you have the Heker that separates that area from Rishus HaRabim. Hocha Baka Miflugi. The Mar Savar, that Shita that says you're not allowed to carry underneath the Korah, is Hekera Milago. We have to transmit or convey a message. To whom? Are we conveying a message to the Bnei Amavui, or are we conveying the message to the Bnei Rishus HaRabim? If you hold Hekera Milago, what that means, Milago means towards the inside, and we want to separate the Mavui from the Rishus HaRabim for the Bnei Amavui, so they won't permit carrying from the Mavui into Rishus HaRab. The Mavui is Rishus HaYochid. Now, as far as the Bnei Mavui is concerned, the Heker is from the inside of the Korah, meaning they see the inner part of the Korah, and that's what separates them from Rishus HaRab. So as far as the Bnei Mavui is concerned, that Heker is on the Tzad HaPnimi of the Korah, that turns towards them, but therefore you're not allowed to carry underneath the Korah itself, because that underneath the Korah has no Heker. Mar Sovar, but according to that opinion that you're allowed to carry underneath the Korah, is Hekera milabar. Milabar is the opposite of milago. It means for the outside. So we're talking about separating the mavui from the Rishus HaRabim on behalf of the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. And that's the purpose of the Korah. So halachically, the Korah will set up its heker from the Chuda HaChitzona, because that's the part of the Korah that faces the public area. And therefore you can carry not only, right, carry the Mavi not only up to the Korah, but even underneath the Korah itself. Ibai Seima. Now the Gemara says, Kuli Alma, what's the purpose of a Korah, according to everybody, Mishum Mechitza? And now we're going to have a machlokes as far as the dinim of mechitzas are concerned. Hocha b'hocha miflugi, mar sovar, the one who says you're not allowed to carry under the Korah. Chudo hapnimi yored v'sosem. Umar sovar, chudo achitzoni yored v'sosem. So the machlokes here is about a very serious issue on a doraisa level. You know, if you're talking about a heker, you're really talking about a derabbanan. If you're talking about defining a mechitza, then you're talking about a doraisa, a real doraisa. Okay, I just want to. So now the machlokas amoraim about whether you're allowed to carry underneath the korah has nothing to do with whether korah is mishum heker or korah mishum mechitza. It's possible that everybody agrees korah mishum heker, but the question is it a heker milago, a heker milabar? Is it a heker for the bnei hamovi, the heker for the bnei rishus harab? It's possible that everybody holds that korah mishum mechitza, but the machlokas is how do we set up the p yored v'sosem? Is it from the chudu apnimi of the korah? That's Yored V'Sosem, or is it the Chitzoni? And that's so far. Omer Avchizda, Kol Modim V'Bein HaLechayayim Sha'aser. Ah, now we come back to your question, Don, about the Lechi. And the question is, let's say you have a Lechi that's thick, I mean it doesn't have to be thick, but let's say you have a thick Lechi. Are you allowed to carry in this area of Bein HaLechayayim? And Rav Chisda says that everybody agrees that Bein HaLechayayim is awesome, meaning you're only allowed to carry beyond the Lechi, but not, like, let's say I'm coming out of my Mavui and I get to the Lechi. I gotta stop. I'm not allowed to take that extra step in the Keneged HaLechi. And he says the following. There's something called Bein HaLechayayim. Bein HaLechayayim means between the Lechi on the one side and its parallel Kosel on the other side. And again, as I said before, it could be that the Lechi is very thick, and in that case there'd be a whole area called Bein HaLechayayim. Kol HaMoroim Nechleku Li'el Im Mutal Shtamesh Tachas HaKor Modim Shem B'movui Shetikno B'Lechi V'lo B'Kora Osul Shtamesh Keneged HaLechi. So even if we'll have a debate about whether you're allowed to carry underneath the Korah, everybody agrees that in that area, going from, we'll call it left to right, in the width of the Mavi, from one Lechi to the other, to the end of the Kosa on the other side, you're not allowed to use that area. Why? Kevin she'ein shir l'rochav ha'lechi, v'yefshal lasos rochav afilu b'mashuhu. So a Lechi could be as thin as you want it to be. That's called a mashu. That's actually a Mishnah later on. It's there for Yesh Lachshos, She'im Yeh Mutal Ishtamish Keneged HaLechi, Yavo Lahotzi L'Rishus HaRab Mishum Shu Dover Muat. So again, once you have this very thin area, which is called Bein HaLechayayim, because your Lechi is a mashu, then if we're going to allow him to carry there, he might take one little inch of a step beyond, and he ends up carrying in Rishus HaRab. However, in the case of a Korah, A korah has to be at least a tefach wide. And once again, that's a mishnah later on. And therefore, we're not going to be afraid that he might go beyond the korah into Rishus HaRabim. So the korah, meaning the area below the korah, is a substantial area. It's got to be at least a tefach. And we're not afraid that he'll take that step beyond. Masha'en came in the case of a lechi, which is b'mashahu, we have to be more careful. And we're not going to allow him to carry bein al-lechayayin. In the note here, he quotes a Tosvis, who says that the chumrah of bein al-lechayayin ein lefarish mishum shekora mishum heker v'lechi mishum machitza. Don't think that this extra severity of lechi vis-a-vis korah is because the korah is mishum heker and the lechi is mishum machitza. I'm just trying to think how Tosfos understood this. Again, he's rejecting this, but if you would say that lechi is mishum machitza, so then you might say chudu apnimi. You could say theoretically that the heter in the case of korah is because the heker is for the bnei rishus harabim, and lechi mishum machitza would therefore mean that if the machitza is established from the chuda hapnimi, therefore you're not allowed to carry between the lechayim. He rejects this. He says, "Me'achash emuchach." There's a gemara later on. Shegam la'sovrim korah mishum mechitza. Modim, even if you hold korah is mechutza, they agree. Shedin bein alachayim chomer midin tachas hakorah. In other words, to say that the chumrah of lechi is because korah is mishum heker, and therefore we're more lenient in the case of korah, again the heker for the bnei rishus harabim, that's not true, because the gemara is going to say later that even if I hold korah mishum mechitza, I might be of the opinion that the mechitza is the outer mechitza, the chuda hachitzoni, but in the case of bein alachayim, then we have to be machmir. And again, why should we be machmir? If you're saying chuda hachitzona in the case of the mechitza of the korah, we should apply that same yardstick to the bein halachayayim. So therefore, we're going to have to explain that the chumrah of bein halachayayim has to do with the fact that a lechi is even a mashu. So let's make a note of where we got up to today. We're up to boi minei rami bar chama mi rav chizda. And this is a further analysis of the sugya of korah and under the korah, in a case where the korah was set up outside of the mavli. That's going to be, b'lineder, our discussion for tomorrow.